Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. This hour, why God still matters. Sometimes we might be tempted to think the modern world has done away with God, and maybe we've grown past all of that God stuff. Maybe you think so, and you'd like to know why we don't think so, why we think God still matters. Maybe someone in your life thinks God is passé, and you would like some help on how to respond to that person in your life, whether a family member or a friend. We very much welcome your call this hour on the topic, why God still matters. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. My name is Cy Kellett, and I am your host. Our guest this hour, Carlo Broussard, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers and much-loved speaker, which we're going to talk about it because you're going to be an even more much-loved speaker a week from now.
Thanks for being with us,
first of all, Carlo.
You're welcome, Cy. It's always a great pleasure, my friend, to be on air with you.
Likewise. And you're traveling up north.
That's right.
And so tell us a little bit about where people can see you.
Yeah, so starting this weekend on Saturday, February 25th, in the morning, I'm going to be in San Jose, California at Holy Family Parish, giving a talk entitled, What Difference Does Jesus Make? That evening, I'll be in Santa Clara at Our Lady of Peace Parish, giving a talk entitled, The Bible Blueprint for the Eucharist. And then on Sunday, February 26th, in the morning, I'll be in Saratoga at Sacred Heart Parish, giving a talk on relativism. And then in the evening, I'll be back in San Jose at Queen of Apostles giving a talk entitled Living Life to the Fullest, a Compass for Human Happiness. I'll be sharing some of the information that I learned in my work with Father Robert Spitzer and the four levels of happiness and how to get the most out of life, sort of navigating our life through those four levels, right? And then Monday, February 27th, I'll be giving a talk entitled Science, a Believer's Friend or Foe. And some of that information is relevant to today's show on why God still matters. And that's going to be in Los Altos at St. William Church. And then Tuesday, February 28th, I'll be at St. Lucy Parish giving a talk entitled Apologetics for an Age of Unbelief. And that's in Campbell, California. And then I'm actually going to be giving a talk at Google.
Are you really?
Yeah. Wow. Now, it's a private talk. It's not open to the public, but I'm actually going to be giving a presentation to a small group of folks there. So you know what? I'm going to slide down their slide in the organization. I heard they got like a slide.
That goes between floors or something like that.
Nice.
Good for you, Carlo.
I want to lay down in the nap chair, and I want to ride the bicycle and jump on whatever trampoline they have.
Man, you know all about Google. So these public talks, do people have to register or anything?
No, these public talks are free. So they can actually just go on online. Catholic.com, I believe we have these listed in the speaker section. If not, they can actually just go to our Facebook page, Catholic Answers Facebook page, and we have a flyer that is posted there with a list of all of these parishes and the titles of the talks and the address of the parish and the times, so they can get that information there on our Facebook page.
Why God Still Matters. That's our topic this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. Happy to take your calls on why God still matters. Any aspect. I mean, you may come at that from a personal perspective of your own. Maybe you need some help answering someone else's right. question. And the questions are – there's a lot of them these days. I do think that the internet, maybe Google, is contributing to it. That's not a bad thing about Google. I mean, it's just the fact that that's technology right. is spreading all kinds of ideas. And it is, in fact, the case, I would say, Carlo, that sometimes – cynical ideas are easier to convey in short little video bursts.
Amen to that.
And so those kind of can predominate the conversation.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Cy. It is so easy to say, I don't believe in God or God doesn't exist.
Right.
And then in order to respond to that challenge and provide an adequate answer to demonstrate that God indeed does exist, and not merely to give a probable argument for God's existence, but to demonstrate it philosophically, that the conclusion must follow from the premises, etc., it requires a lot of legwork, you know?
Yeah.
And the arguments are there, and they're sound, and they're amazing to give a metaphysical demonstration of God's existence. And what that basically means is that the conclusion, as I said, necessarily follows from these premises that are not only probably true, but metaphysically, they're necessarily true. And those arguments are available, but it does require a little time and some legwork, which I think Don Johnson's method of evangelization will come into play, because it's important to try to establish relationships and in order to be able to walk that person through the legwork. But the point being is that it's so easy to say no, and it's easy to say yes, God exists, but we have to substantiate that claim, which leads me to the next point. For those who very easily say, well, God doesn't exist, or I don't believe God exists, we need to challenge them. As my colleague and friend here at Catholic Answers, Trent Horn, does so well on his Open Forum for Atheists, to challenge those who doubt or deny God's existence to provide reasons why they don't believe there's any good arguments for God's existence, or why they conclude God does not exist. And then you can begin entering into that dialogue to examine those reasons and see if they stand up to the scrutiny of reason. And then add to that the reasons why we think God exists, and examine those reasons and see if they stand up to the scrutiny of reason.
But here's my worry, Carlo, is that we have young people, and I personally focus somewhat on the middle school age, who are very vulnerable to the mocking and the smart alecky, you know, post. And
right.
And Jesus assures us with 100% assurance, seek and you shall find.
Right.
But they may be being encouraged not to seek. That is, their seeking instinct might be turned off at 12 right. or 11 years old.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with that immediate gratification that we get with social media
yeah.
platforms. I mean, right. I know from my own experience, I've had to basically cut myself off from not totally, but to temper my time on Facebook, on the mobile phone, on the phone, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
so many times I found myself just, you know, scrolling down the news feed, just looking at the article titles and not actually reading anything. It's kind of like the guy who sits in the recliner and just flips through the channels with the remote and never watches anything.
That's not me. I'm not that guy. I have a couch, not a recliner.
It's the same thing,
yeah,
you know? But,
right.
but the point being is that we want that immediate gratification, so right. we very seldom dive into an examination, an in-depth examination of these big questions that Don Johnson was talking about earlier in the previous show. You know, where did we come from? Where are we going? Is this life all there is? What's going to constitute ultimate human happiness, et cetera?
Yeah.
And it's – unfortunately, we have to do, as Catholics, a better job at capturing the attention of our youth and young adults who live in this immediate gratification sort of culture – to capture their attention and then lead them down that journey or that quest for truth. So it's a very complex, there's no cookie cut mold of how to do
yes.
it. You know, we just got to
yeah.
take it on a individual basis. Individual basis, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, one particular person at a time. And I think our education system has a lot to do with that as well, especially for Catholic schools. I mean, our Catholic schools, that's where these junior high kids are. I taught 7th and 8th grade theology back in southern Louisiana when I was working full-time for my pastor. And that's where it has to start.
Yeah.
You know, it starts in the home ultimately, but in the schools, that's where we have a great opportunity to capture their minds
right.
and ultimately capture their hearts as well. And
yeah.
we as Catholic catechists and teachers, we need to be well-equipped to
amen,
be able to do that.
Brother. Amen. Because I do think, how many do we lose just because they didn't get an adequate answer to a question sometimes? I mean,
that's right.
At Catholic Answers, we believe in questions. You should ask a question.
Amen.
And
you
should be prepared to give an answer.
That's right. And the Blessed Mother asked a question as well in
right.
Luke chapter 1. I know not man, how shall this be?
Right.
But the difference between her question and Zechariah's question, when he asked how his wife Elizabeth was going to conceive a child when she was barren, he was mute. He went dumb after that, presumably because his question had involved doubt, right?
Yeah.
But when Mary asked the question, there wasn't any doubt embedded in the question. She asked the question legitimately seeking the truth.
She wanted to understand.
She wanted to understand, and she was provided an answer. And that's the spirit with which we need to ask questions. There is no stupid question if it is sought with a sincere heart. We, as Aristotle said, every man desires to know. And to not ask a question would be to go against our very nature as human beings.
888-318-7884 is the number. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Why God Still Matters is our topic. Carlo Broussard is here to answer those questions. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks for listening to Catholic Answers. Be back right after this.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then we're going to take $10 from each set purchased and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be part of something great. Call 888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Why does God still matter? That's our question this hour. Answering that question, Carlo Broussard, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. And if start with you, Carlo, we'll go right to calls.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Jake in Illinois listening on EWTN radio. Jake, your question for Carlo Broussard.
Hi, Carlo. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Jake.
I'd like to address the issue of God providing a reason for the universe to exist.
Okay.
God himself exists for no reason, being eternal and uncreated and all those things. So why could we not just say that the universe exists eternally, uncreated, and dispense with the need for God as you're trying to avoid?
Right. Yeah, Jake, this is a great question, brother. Thank you so much for calling in and asking it. First of all, I would say that your initial statement that God exists for no reason is actually false. That is not what we as theists claim. We think, we know through philosophical demonstration that there is a reason that God exists. That reason simply is not found outside of himself. You see, Jake, it presupposes a whole philosophical tradition of understanding of what God is as pure existence, you might say, pure, you know, Aristotle would say pure actuality, St. Thomas Aquinas would say ipsum esse subsistens, that is, pure subsistent being itself, okay? So the fact of the matter is that there is no distinction. Through philosophical demonstration, we can reason to the conclusion that God, as properly defined, there is no distinction between what he is, namely his nature, his essence, and that he is, namely his active being or his existence. God, by way of philosophical demonstration, is his very active being itself. The reason why God exists is because of that subsistent being. He does not have a cause outside of himself. So we're not saying that God is a brute fact. We're not saying that God exists for no reason. No, he is the reason he exists, because he is existence itself. Now, granted, I understand that requires some philosophical argumentation to arrive at the conclusion, but in classical theism, Jake, we know that we can arrive at the conclusion of this uncaused cause by way of philosophical demonstration. And when you go through a philosophical analysis of the nature of the uncaused cause, you come to the conclusion that this uncaused cause is absolutely simple. There's no distinction between essence and existence. He is pure existence. And that is the reason why he exists eternally, unchangeably, totally outside of time. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, etc. And all of that is unpacked. Now, we know that the universe, Jake, cannot be that uncaused cause, precisely because one reason: the universe itself is a physical reality. When you go through the philosophical analysis of the uncaused cause of Thomas Aquinas's second way, you might say, or the unmoved mover of Aquinas's first way, what you come to find is that the uncaused cause, which can only be one, by the way, cannot be material. And if that is the case, well, then we can conclude from that that the universe or anything within physical reality cannot be the uncaused cause, precisely because it's material. So there's two ways of looking at this. We can reason to the fact that the universe is not the absolutely necessary being, because we can first establish the reality of the uncaused cause, which is necessary. Come to the conclusion of the various divine attributes of that uncaused cause, and then know that the universe, that uncaused cause, can't be a part of the universe in any way. And then finally, Jake, I would refer you to our website at Catholic.com, brother. I wrote an article on why the universe cannot just be a brute fact, and why we can't just say, well, the universe just exists for no reason. We actually know through philosophical demonstration that there is a reason why the universe exists, namely God. And the reason why God exists is because he is pure existence itself. So I don't know if that gets at your question anyway. What do you think about that, Jake?
Well, I mean, I would need to hear more to understand why being physical requires, or means, that the universe can't be the uncaused cause. I mean,
right.
Consider, for example, if the universe was like a ruler. It has a beginning, it has an end, if it was just, but it all exists at once, and it could all eternally exist that way.
Okay.
And that it just is that way. It just,
okay,
as you called it, a brute fact, and therefore doesn't need to be brought into existence. It just is there.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Jake, because your understanding of the world or the physical universe eternally existing doesn't preclude or negate the fact that it would still need an uncaused cause. You see, Jake, the beautiful thing about the various philosophical arguments for God's existence as put forward by St. Thomas Aquinas and many other scholastic writers is that the arguments do not claim that the world or the physical universe had an absolute beginning. That's a different argument. It's called the Kalam cosmological argument. The cosmological arguments of Aquinas assume, for argument's sake, that the physical universe has always been existing, without beginning, without end. And even if that is the case, we even one contingent thing, one thing existing right here and right now that is caused to exist by something else, terminates in an uncaused cause that not only brings physical things into existence or the physical universe into existence, but actually sustains the physical universe in existence right here and right now. And that, Jake, is what these philosophical arguments for God's existence comes to the conclusion of, regardless of whether or not the physical universe had a beginning or not. And Jake, for information about these kind of arguments, I would encourage you to check out the philosopher Ed Fazer. He's a professor of philosophy at Pasadena College in Pasadena, California. And he has a book out called Aquinas. I think the subtitle is A Guide for Beginners. And in that book, Jake, he goes through these sort of philosophical arguments that conclude with the necessity of an uncaused cause that grounds the existence of everything that exists outside of itself, regardless of whether or not the physical universe had a beginning. So hopefully that'll be helpful for you.
Thank you very much, Jake. The topic this hour, Why God Still Matters, the number 888-318-7884. Happy to take your calls, 888-318-7884. We go now to Pat in Levington, Michigan. Pat, you are on with Carlo Broussard. What's your question?
My sister's grandchild, he's 11 years old. He just recently switched from a Catholic school to a public school. This is his first year. He came to her one day and he said, "You know, I don't believe in God." He said, "There's no proof."
Right.
And she was telling me this, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, where do we go to help this 11-year-old boy understand? Are there books for him? Is there place? I tried to think of several places to refer her to, and then here you are talking about it. I mean, does God work wonders or not?
Amen. You know? He does. Amen.
Yeah.
He does.
And so, is there anything that I can? Now, we don't live in the same area, and so I'm just calling on her. You know, I'm calling for me to be able to help her to help him.
Right.
But is there any way or anything I can direct her to help her help this child understand that there is a God?
Yeah, it's, you know, Pat, is that correct? Am I getting okay? Yeah,
right,
Pat. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of material out there that addresses the big question of God's existence and the philosophical arguments for God's existence for this particular age group, at least a treatment of it that would go into depth to try to convince and persuade 11 or 12-year-old. So maybe, Pat, I might have to do something for that here at Catholic Answers, right? There
yes.
might be a new product in the pipeline for the future. But you know what, Pat? There is something you might be able to refer your family member to, and that is a set called Beginning Apologetics. It's various volumes. I think there's 9 volumes in all. But one of those volumes, and I can't remember, Cy, exactly which one. But, Pat, if you just Google Beginning Apologetics by Jim Burnham. I think it's B-U-R-N-H-A-M. And one of those volumes in this set deals with the question of God's existence. And it takes the question in a very elementary way from square one, without all of the philosophical jargon and the heady stuff, and lays out the arguments for God's existence that may very well be intelligible for an 11 or 12-year-old. So that would be one resource I would refer you to. And then also from my days when I taught 7th and 8th grade theology back in Louisiana, I know we used the Faith and Life series. And I recall specifically in the 7th grade volume of the textbook for the Faith and Life series, there was a particular chapter in there on God's existence, and they laid out the 5 proofs of St. Thomas Aquinas. Now, granted, they didn't get into those proofs in depth to, you know, sort of argue through them and substantiate all of the claims, but it did lay them out. So those are 2 resources that you might want to check out.
Thank you very much, Pat. I think that is a very pressing question. I really think we've come to something here today, because we've got to do something for these middle schoolers. There's just too much out there for them,
right,
that challenges them. and they need to have something to equip them to respond to those challenges. More of your calls when we come back, 888-318-7884. Why God Still Matters with Carlo Broussard when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Broussard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our topic this hour, Why God Still Matters, with Carlo Broussard, staff apologist here. And Carlo, we were addressing Pat's question before the break,
yes.
And then we got a couple suggestions from folks here in the studio, and maybe you want to mention them.
Yeah, I can't believe I couldn't think of it off the top of my head, because my 12-year-old son actually read the book. It's a graphic novel that we actually published here at Catholic Answers, Volume 1, entitled, I think it's Volume 1, The Truth is Out There. And that's the volume that deals with the question of God's existence. So it's kind of like in a comic book format, and it's about this young boy who's, you know, taking this journey, and he ends up meeting this older guy, and all of these big questions come up about God's existence, etc. So that might actually be something, I know it's going to be something very helpful for the 11-year-old that Pat was calling about. And then Volume 2 of the graphic novel series is The Big Picture. And I think that just came out about like 5 or 6 months ago or something. It's fairly new. And that deals with other questions as well. So it's oriented towards sort of this middle school age, even a little bit older, to try to engage them about these big questions in a way that will be palatable for them to receive.
And from now on, can your 12-year-old come when you're on the air?
Just yes.
Sit him
you know
next
what?
To
you know what, Cy? This is actually might be an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I've always thought – actually, I got to give props to my wife, because she's always pestering me and bugging me about, you need to do a Catholic Answers Live for kids.
Apparently we do.
Maybe so. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe we can get some feedback on social media about that. Right, Darren?
888-318-7884 is the number. Why God Still Matters is the topic. We live stream now, as you know.
That's
we're on
right.
these cameras. We live stream to Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope. Callum on Facebook Live writes the following, Carlo.
Oh.
What does Carlo think of Anthony Flew's argument for God from the laws of nature?
Mm.
It seems to be like a version of the fifth way, but without the principle of finality, because he says that God is the best explanation of the regularities described in the laws of nature.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I haven't specifically read Flew's argument from the laws of nature, so I can't comment specifically on this, but I can comment in general that the laws of nature understood classically from sort of an Aristotelian Thomistic point of view of the principle of finality. And for our listeners, the principle of finality simply means that every agent acts for an end. That's to say, whenever there's some sort of causality going on, when you have a cause generating an effect or a certain range of effects and not some other effect or range of effects, that's an end. There's a finality. It's teleology, telos.
The final cause that Aristotle talks about.
That's right. Which is intrinsically involved in Aquinas' fifth way. You have this principle of finality. So, for example, when you strike a match, it doesn't generate, as Ed Fazer says, it doesn't generate the smell of lilacs and coldness. It generates heat and fire, right? There's an end. You know, the heart is ordered toward pumping the blood. The lungs are ordered towards helping us breathe. So every agent acts for an end. This is the principle of finality. Now, in the laws of nature and science basically describe the natures of things.
Yeah.
How things operate given their inherent powers and how these powers are ordered towards certain effects. Now, in Aquinas' fifth way, that serves as the starting point for arriving at an infinite divine intelligence that orders the regularities, that orders and directs all things to their appropriate ends. Now, granted, we don't have time in the show to go throughout all of the details of the fifth way, but that's the basic sketch. So we can look at nature and an order in nature and how the natures of things have ordered to certain ends, and we can reason back to an infinite divine intelligence that's ordering those things, which is different than other type of design arguments, Sai, that look at like biological complexity and then reason to the high probability that there's this creative intelligence. But with Aquinas' fifth way, it's actually a metaphysical demonstration. And that's to say, just as he arrives at the uncaused cause in the second way, metaphysically, necessarily coming to that conclusion from the premises, the same can be true for the fifth way of Aquinas. It's not a probabilistic argument. So that would be the one thing I would note in Coulomb's question concerning sort of the best explanation of the regularities. From the Thomistic perspective, the fifth way of Aquinas doesn't reason to God as the best explanation of the regularities of the laws of nature and the principle of finality, but the necessary explanation for the very existence of the principle of finality, of things being ordered to certain ends.
Amen.
Wow. And once again, Professor Ed Fazer, in his book that I mentioned earlier, Aquinas, A Guide for Beginners, he goes into the fifth way in greater detail.
That seems to be a very helpful book on this topic, God Still Matters. Okay,
indeed.
So look for Dr. Ed Fazer's book. Carlo, I don't know if we're about to get in trouble here. 888-318-7884 is the number, but I see Sal from Lafayette, Louisiana, listening on 1180 AM. Okay, good luck to me dealing with the two of you. You are on with Sal with Carlo Broussard.
Hey, Carlo, how's it going?
Sal, is this the Sal that I know from the Awakening community, or is this a different Sal?
This is Sal Maselli. I live in Lafayette.
Okay.
I'm traveling for work right now in Texas. We do know each other. I'm not sure if there's another Sal.
Okay.
I did not attend, but helped out with Awakening once with Miss Yogi.
Okay. All right. So what's your question, Sal? It's great. First of all, it's great to talk to you, brother. It's always great to have a fellow Cajun here on Catholic Answers Live with me.
Well, I'm what I call a born-again Cajun because I was actually born Italian, but then I moved to Acadiana and was adopted, so I was born-again Cajun.
There you go, brother. We'll accept you. A born-again on the bayou, right?
That's right. I have a question, but it's more of a supposition.
Okay.
While I appreciate and really, really get into the metaphysical philosophy of Aquinas, when you were explaining how he exists for the purpose of existence because he is existence, Hasn't it been also argued that he exists for the purpose of love because he is love itself, and he exists to love and to be loved?
Right.
And it's, now, I know, now that may be more of a relational explanation as opposed to the metaphysical, which explains that God exists.
Right.
But his purpose for existence, which was, I think, the question that was asked a few calls ago, it kind of made me realize that if we're going to evangelize and explain,
sure,
I think more people would want to know that they're loved,
right,
than to know the metaphysical reality.
Okay.
Of God's existence.
Sure.
Don't you think, or no?
Yeah, for evangelistic purposes, this is actually what you're getting at, Sal, here is one particular argument within the family of arguments for God's existence. It wouldn't be, there's two ways. Let me back up a little bit. There is one way in which you can arrive at God as pure love itself metaphysically, and that is through the first and second way, and even the third way, and the fourth way, and even the fifth way of Aquinas, where you arrive at God as pure existence, right? He's pure actuality, he's pure being. That means there can be no imperfection in him. So if he's pure being, no imperfection, he's ipsum esse subsistence, subsistent being itself, that means he's pure goodness, because being and goodness, or what we call in philosophy transcendentals, they go beyond all particular types of being. So if something's pure being, it's pure goodness, okay? And it's also pure truth. And because it's pure goodness, Sal, it's going to be pure love, okay? Now, that's one way that you can arrive at God as pure love, pure goodness, through these metaphysical demonstrations. But there's also, Sal, another argument that has been employed in the history of the philosophy of religion, and that is a desire, the argument from the desire for happiness. It's within the family of the moral arguments. It doesn't establish God as pure goodness metaphysically, like a metaphysical demonstration where the conclusion necessarily follows from the necessary premises. But it does show a high degree of probability. And that is like this, Sal. We all have a desire for happiness. And no particular good in this life, the pizza, the ice cream, even as lovely as my wife is, even my wife can't totally satisfy my desire for perfect and unconditional infinite goodness or love. I mean, we all experience this, Sal, right? Anytime we experience a imperfect manifestation of love in our life, what happens? We get frustrated, right? And as the philosophers of old have reasoned, why is that? Because we desire infinite love, that is to say, infinite goodness itself. And as Aristotle pointed out, nature does nothing in vain. We have a desire for food, there's food. We have a desire for drink, there's drink. These are desires that are we're hardwired with these desires. They make up the very fabric of our being. So too the desire for infinite love. And if we have that desire for infinite love, then it stands to reason that that infinite reality of infinite love would exist to satisfy that desire. And that infinite reality is God. So you see, Sal, we have these two ways. We have sort of a metaphysical demonstration of arriving at God as pure love by virtue of the conceptual analysis of God being pure being and what all that means. But then also we can start with the human person and our intrinsic desire for perfect love, perfect happiness, perfect goodness, and arrive at God being that infinite reality that can satisfy that desire. What do you think of that, Sal?
I love your answer because it combines both.
Amen,
that God exists and why.
It fulfills,
I think, it satisfies a desire as well as a question. And I loved your answer. Thank you so much for what you do, Carlo.
Thanks, Sal. It's good talking to you, brother. You know, Sal brought up a great point, the classic Catholic both and. You know, and even in the Catechism, Sai, in its section on God, right in the initial paragraphs, when it talks about how we come to know God, it points out that we can come to know that God exists from the world, starting with the world. That's why we call certain arguments cosmological arguments. but we can also reason to the existence of God by starting with the human person. And the Catechism points out those intrinsic desires that we have. And this is why heaven, to jump from philosophy to theology, heaven is going to be that definitive state of happiness, as the Catechism explains, precisely because our union with God is union with that reality that we desire, namely infinite goodness, infinite love, infinite truth, infinite knowledge.
Yeah.
And the intellect and the will be so satisfied, nothing could come into comparison with the satisfaction that we'll get in that beatific vision we call heaven.
And I have to admit to you, Carlo, that answer to the question, why God still matters, no, why does God still matter, is to me the most satisfying. To God still matters because of this infinity of love in which you are invited to participate. That matters a lot to me. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Amen. Well, he matters for our ultimate and complete human happiness.
Amen, brother. 888-318-7884 is the number. Why God Still Matters is the topic. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live with more with Carlo Broussard.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Is it possible to know when life begins? Shouldn't women be able to control their own bodies? What if a pregnant woman's life is in danger? In 20 Answers, Abortion, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more. You'll deepen your understanding of this critical moral issue and gain the knowledge you need to explain it to others. 20 Answers, Abortion is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. All in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 16:13, Jesus asked his disciples about rumors concerning his identity, not to inform himself, but to lead up to his next question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then assured him that it was not from merely human premises that Peter had declared his messiahship, but that the Father himself had revealed this to him. That it was the Father and not the Son who revealed this shows how profound was the significance of Peter's words, even if Peter had not yet grasped their depth. Today we celebrate the significance. It was on Peter that Jesus built his church, and to Peter that he gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Many have tried to deny or downplay this reality, but after 2,000 years plus, the chair of Peter still speaks with Christ's authority and will until the end of time. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Why God Still Matters this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Lots of calls, Carlo, so I'm going to try to get through them as quick as I can. We'll just go directly to Carl in Lancaster, Ohio, listening on 820 AM. Carl, you're on with Carlo. What's your question?
Hey, guys. My question is, if there is a true entity that you all call God,
right,
and he's so merciful and loving,
sure,
why, since creation, if there was one, are we allowed to keep killing each other?
Right.
Day after day after day.
Yeah, Carl, what you bring up, my friend, is what we traditionally call in philosophy of religion the problem of evil. And in this particular case, it would be the problem of what we call moral evil. And fundamentally, Carl, you know, I mean, it is a mystery in the sense that we cannot fully comprehend God's infinite wisdom and reasons of why he would continue to permit us to allow to abuse the freedom that he gave us, okay? But so the answer that I'm going to give, Carl, can't totally dispel the darkness of God's permission of evil, okay? But I do think it can shine a bit of light that may very well be helpful for you. One way to think about it, Carl, is to think about this. What would God have to do in order to stop us from killing each other over and over and over again? So what do you think, Carl, that God, what would God have to do? Would you agree with me, Carl, that maybe perhaps one way is that God could override our free will whenever we choose to kill somebody or do something evil? Would that be a possible way that God could do that?
No.
Okay. Why not? So you're saying God couldn't override our free will, and why couldn't he do that?
Oh, he can do anything. Well, first of all, I got to quit saying he, because I've never met him, I've never seen it, or whatever.
For the sake of conversation, I got you, brother. Okay. All right.
But other than that, he's got the power, or it's got the power to do whatever it wants. It could have started over. It could have done everything.
Okay. So if he is all powerful, then he would have the power to override our free will whenever we choose to do something evil. But you know, Carl, I would say that that actually wouldn't be a good thing, because why would God create human creatures with free will, right, with the ability to choose good or the bad, and then stop us from exercising that capacity whenever we choose to abuse our freedom? So it doesn't make sense that God is going to stop our free will and violate the very nature that he gave us. That wouldn't be smart. That would be like, putting an air conditioned system into my home and every time in order to cool the house, and every time it kicks on, I go and turn it off. It wouldn't make sense, right? So God, it wouldn't make sense. That's not a good option for God to stop us from doing evil. So that leads us to the next question. Well, what's another way? Well, perhaps, Carl, I would agree with you that God being all powerful, he could set it up in a way to where we wouldn't be killing everybody. He could have created us with the beatific vision. And Carl, that's the language that we use for heaven. Like all of the souls in heaven right now, they see God in his essence. And their wills are totally directed and perfected, totally directed to God and perfected. They can't choose evil. They still can choose good. They still have free will, but they can't choose evil. So the question is, why didn't God set up the universe in that way? And ultimately, it's a mystery, but I think one possible answer, Carl, is that God saw that there is a good in creating human beings in a way that we can actually cooperate with his divine plan of providence. That's a great dignity, Carl, as opposed to not being able to do anything to cooperate with his plan of how he's going to order human history. He chose for us to be real causes in history. He willed for us to actually be able to choose things and have real effects. Unfortunately, some of those effects are bad, but even the effects that we choose for the good are real effects that come from our cooperation with his plan. And that's a great dignity that he has bestowed upon us as human beings. So I would say that rather than, you know, God's permission of us killing everybody, taking away from God's goodness, it actually points to God's goodness, Carl, in as much as he respects the great dignity that he has bestowed upon us. And finally, I would be remiss if I didn't bring in the Christian perspective, which we know that God will order all things toward the good so that all of the killing that takes place and all of the evildoers will be brought to justice, Carl. And God, being infinite in power, as you acknowledge, if that is the case, then there's no good that he couldn't bring about to rectify and cancel out, you might say, the evils that have taken place in this world. And we know from the Christian perspective that that's going to take place ultimately in heaven in the next life, where Carl, by the light of grace, by divine grace, we will see how all of the evil will be brought to justice. We will see how God ordered all things toward the good, as St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, for those who believe in him. So there's a philosophical element here, but then there's also a Christian element. The flip side of that is, if God doesn't exist, Carl, then all of the injustice in this world will never be brought to justice. And thus, we live in an absurd world, and there would be no point in living if all of the evils will not be brought to justice. So I would say that the existence of God and his power to order all things toward the good and bring justice to the evildoers makes for a better worldview and a better picture of reality, as opposed to no God existing. What do you think of that, Carl?
I don't know why I'm clued in on it all the time, but I mean, I've read the Bible forward and backwards all the time, and I've put it away. I have to leave it alone because it doesn't have enough good answers for me. But he's going to keep killing. It's going to keep killing because of the seals that need to be broken, and our plagues and all that good stuff are supposedly going to hit us, and the rest is going to be 144,000, and those are the chosens. I'm not skeptical. I'm kind of like one of those apostles I read about, Thomas the Doubter.
Sure.
That supposedly Jesus says, "Hey, you doubt me? Put your finger in my hand, whatever." But
okay. Well, Carl, I think I would just leave you with this, brother. Then we have to get to another caller. I would encourage you and keep seeking. Don't stop in your quest for the truth. And don't stop seeking those answers. And I would encourage you to visit our website, Catholic.com. We have several articles on the problem of evil and how to make sense and reconcile an all-good, merciful God and his permission of evil in the world, whether it's moral evil or physical evil, like of natural disasters and stuff. And Christianity, not only do we have it from philosophy, but I think Christianity, as Don Johnson was pointing out in the earlier show, provides the adequate answers to those questions.
I think we can get one more call in if we go quickly. So I will go quickly.
Let's give it a shot here.
Mike in Albany, New York, listening on WOPG. Mike, you're on with Carlo Broussard. Could you try to state your question quickly so we can make sure to get to it before the end of the show?
Sure. With the 11-year-old and Carl, I think philosophical and physics, I think we need something tangible. And I just wonder, why don't we refer them to miracles?
Amen.
Because don't miracles prove the existence of God, like the shroud and the tomb of Our Lady of Guadalupe, that something they can physically look at and see and research?
Mike.
It brought me aboard.
Yeah, Mike, I'm so glad you brought that up, brother, because miracles is an essential tool in evangelization. And in fact, Mike, I actually wrote a 20 Answers booklet entitled 20 Answers Miracles. And I go through 20 questions about miracles and give answers. And I give examples in the booklet about certain miracles in the Bible, miracles throughout church history, which can be used as a tool to lead somebody to faith, showing that there is something beyond the physical world, and that reality is God. So thank you, Mike, for that suggestion.
If you want to see Carlo, go to Catholic.com and there's...
As well as our Facebook page, we have a flyer with a list of all the places that I'll be in San Jose area.
Thank you, Carlo Broussard, for being here with us.
You're welcome, Si. It was a pleasure.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow. I want to let you know we're going to be broadcasting live from the Religious Ed Conference on Friday. So if you're going to the Religious Ed Conference, the Los Angeles Religious Ed Conference, the biggest gathering of Catholics in the United States, if you're going to be there, come by Catholic Answers booth and say hello. And then we'll be broadcasting from 3 to 5 at the EWTN booth. This is Si Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be back again tomorrow. See you then.